passage for today comes from Acts chapter 2. Listen now for God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, saying, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say. Today is Pentecost, and on Pentecost we read what we call the story of Pentecost here from Acts chapter 2. What happens in this story? Well, Jesus has left his disciples. This is a story that comes after Jesus' ascension. So Jesus' time on earth has come to a close. And before Jesus leaves, before he ascends to take his rightful place on the throne of heaven, he gives his disciples some clear instructions. He tells them that they should go to Jerusalem, and that there they should wait for the gift that God will send to them, that he and God the Father will send. And so Peter and the other disciples, they do what they are told. They're faithful to the instructions that Jesus gives to them. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. And so Peter and the other 11 disciples, they do what they're told. They follow the instructions that they have from Jesus. They go to Jerusalem and they wait. And on Pentecost, Jesus' promise comes true. The Holy Spirit comes and fills the disciples with energy and power and a clear sense of their calling, and gives them direction, and they find themselves preaching about God's deeds of power, preaching about what God had done through Jesus Christ in his life, his death, and his resurrection, and now his ascension to heaven. And they're preaching and teaching and telling everyone about what's going on. And we hear that there are people from all over the world, Jews from all over the known world, have gathered together in Jerusalem for the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. And what happens is the disciples are faithful to the instructions that Jesus gives them. They do what the Spirit leads them to do, and God amplifies their ministry beyond their wildest dreams, right? This miracle happens where the Spirit gives them the gift of language, and they're able to share this good news about Jesus with representatives from every country all around the world. And people hear about Jesus. And later we hear in the book of Acts, they come to faith in Jesus. And they're residents of every country of the world, so they don't just stay there in Jerusalem, but they go home. And they carry that message, that good news about Jesus, all across the world. You know, all across the world, they go back and they share what they've heard and what they've seen and what they've experienced of God's power there in Jerusalem. And so God sows the seeds. God sows the seeds of the gospel message all across the world. There's a simple outline of this story that I want to highlight. The disciples were faithful. They were faithful to the calling that Jesus had given them. They were faithful to the instructions that they knew they had from God. And God amplified their ministries in ways that they never could have predicted or expected. Something analogous to that has happened within the ministries of our churches, the Blauenberg and Greekstown Reformed churches, this past year. As I read and studied the story of Pentecost this week, God drew to mind an analogy between that first story of Pentecost and what we have experienced this past year. 14 months ago, the pandemic struck, and we, as our church and our ministries, we were reeling. But, like Peter and the disciples, we knew that we as churches, we knew that we had instructions and callings from God. We knew that when we thought about our church and what's the reason that we are here and what's our purpose in this world and what does God want us to do, we could answer those questions, right? We had a sense of the instructions that God had for us. What God wanted us to do was to find ways to continue in ministry, despite the challenges that we were facing because of COVID-19 and the pandemic. We knew that we had instructions from God, that God has gathered us together as a church so that on Sunday mornings in particular, we can gather together and offer services of worship that are a blessing to God, but are also a blessing to us and our friends and families and our communities. We have these instructions, these callings from God to gather for worship, to give ourselves and others opportunities to experience God, to get to know God, to build a relationship with God. We know we have instructions and a calling to offer worship services, so we have a place where we can give our thanksgivings to God. There's a place, worship is a place where we can be reminded of God's mercy and the forgiveness of our sins. Worship is a place where we can be reminded of God's power to rescue us and save us from any foe or any trouble. Worship is a place where we can come and sing our songs of praise, our songs of worship. Worship is a place where we can come and be in touch with God through prayer, to bring God our prayers of concern and petition, to ask God in prayer to lead us and to guide us. Important ministries. Worship is a place where we come to read and to reflect and to listen for God's word to us in Scripture. It's a place where we're reminded of the peace and the hope and the joy that God has made possible for us. Worship is a place where we have Christian fellowship. We get to know one another, experience love and care for one another and the relationships of encouragement and support. And worship is a place where we are inspired and energized to go out from Sunday morning worship and to participate in the good work that God is doing in this world through us in our lives throughout the rest of the week. So like the disciples who got instructions from Jesus before he ascended, we knew as a church community that we had certain instructions from God that God wanted us to follow. And we have done our best this past year to continue to be faithful to those instructions that God has given us. We have continued to offer worship services to the best of our ability to engage and to share in the ministries of our churches. Volunteers throughout our churches have given of their time, their resources, their creativity, their ingenuity, to move our worship from an in-person experience to an online experience, a remote experience, and then recently to a dual experience where we can worship either in person or online. We have done our best to be faithful. The disciples had instructions. They did their best to be faithful. We had our instructions, and we have done our best to be faithful, to follow the calling that we feel we have from God. And in doing so, we reinvented our practices of worship. We've done a lot of work, and we've experienced a lot of the ministry of the church in this reinvention process. We've had to have hard conversations with one another about what's right and best and what our top priorities are and what things we can set aside. And we've had to be patient with one another. We've had to listen to each other when we've had differences of opinions and seek to understand one another. We've had to make compromises along the way. In and through it all, we have been doing our utmost to be faithful to the calling that God has given us as a church. And as we have done so, as we have done our best to be faithful, what we have found is that God has amplified our work in ways that 2 years ago, we never would have expected for our church community. We had no plans, no energy, no expectations that in the years 2020 and 2021, our churches, Wallenberg and Grigstaff, would become churches that had worship that was accessible both here in our sanctuaries and anywhere out in the world. But that is what God has helped us to accomplish these past 14 months. With the leading and empowering of God's Holy Spirit, our ministries have reached out beyond our sanctuaries, and the blessings of worship, all that worship is and all that God offers and gives us in worship, has been shared throughout our state, throughout our region, throughout our country, and even internationally. Peter and the disciples at that first Pentecost, they had instructions. They did their best to be faithful to those instructions. And God amplified their work beyond what they could have ever expected. And in a similar and smaller way, but in a similar way, so it has been for us. This week on Facebook, I reached out on my page and our church pages, and I asked where our worship services have reached. I asked about where people had accessed our services, where their friends and family were in this world when they tuned in to our remote services. And here is a list of the places that our ministry of worship has reached during these past 14 months. It's a list that I know is incomplete. There are other places as well. So where did our worship ministry reach these past 14 months? Well, they reached the village of Blauenberg. They reached into Grigstown, both Sunset Hill and Norseville, I'm told. Our services reached Rocky Hill and Montgomery. No surprises there. Our services were streamed into people's homes in Franklin, West Amwell, South Plainfield, Flemington, Ringo's, Hillsboro, Princeton, Princeton Junction, and Monmouth Junction. Our ministries of prayer and song and fellowship and scripture, they reached folks in Colts Neck, in Sussex, in Wall Township, in North Hanover Township in Burlington County, and in Williamstown in Lloydchester, how do you say it? I need a native. Lloydchester County, all right. That's fine. Worcester. Gloucester. Just bleh. Like Trenton, not Trenton. Trenton. All right. Our ministry of worship hosted here in our sanctuary in Blauenberg and in Grigstown, extended beyond our state to Malone, New York, Newtown, Pennsylvania, Levittown, Pennsylvania. They extended into Delaware, in Bridgeville, Delaware, and Lewis, Delaware. Our ministry of worship and fellowship moved beyond our region of the United States, extending to Michigan, to Grand Rapids, and to Newaygo. It extended into Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, to Maryville, Tennessee, to Denver, Colorado, to Pinellas Park, Florida. And our special services, our video services from Easter, Ash Wednesday, and Christmas Eve, they were shared by members of our congregations all around the country and all around the world, reaching at least as far as the country of India. People of God, could we ever have imagined that our humble offerings on Sunday mornings, offered here in our sanctuary, would we ever have imagined that God would use these services to touch the lives of people in so many places around our world? This is the nature of our God. God's desire is that we would be faithful to the instructions and the guidance that God gives us. And then God is good to surprise us by taking the small, humble mustard seed offerings that we give and amplifying them beyond our wildest expectations. Peter and the disciples, what did they have? Think about it. We idolize the apostles, Peter and the other disciples. What did they have? All that they had was their experiences with God, their experiences with Jesus, what they had experienced and been taught. They had their personal testimonies. They had the ways that Jesus had made an impact on their lives. And they had the Holy Spirit, which we have too. They shared what God had given them. They shared what they had experienced. And God amplified those offerings, and it had a global impact. We need to realize that that is all that God expects of us as well. To be brave, to be courageous, to be open with one another, to share what we have experienced, to share what we know of God, to share the impact and the blessings, the ways that God has taken our lives and transformed us, to share those testimonies with friends, with families, with family members, with people in the community, to share our worship services, as humble as they may be, to listen, to be in touch with God, and to find in God's presence instructions and callings, to go to God in prayer and to say, God, how is it that you want to use me in this life? How is it that you want to use me today? How is it that you want to use me in this situation that I'm about to enter into? To listen for God's instructions, to be faithful to those instructions, and then to rely on God to take our humble offerings and to amplify them beyond our wildest expectations. This is the nature of the God we know and we serve and we worship. Thanks be to God.